Welcome back to another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur Video Podcast. We're thrilled to have you back this week. I'm here with my special guest, Andy Knott, the COO of AVO Fence Company. And Andy, great to have you. Thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here.
So Andy, I got to ask you, you know, when I first asked you, you're president of the company or your title, you said you're the COO. Would love to know what your definition of COO is.
Well, in a small business, the owner has to wear a lot of hats. So most people, if you ask them what COO means, that they say chief operating officer. But I say that I'm the chief owner operator of AVO. That's my definition of COO.
Well, that's a great point, Andy. And I think as an entrepreneur, one of my passions around this show is kind of the blood, sweat, and tears and the versatility you need to be an entrepreneur. I would love for you to tell our audience just a little bit about where your passion came from. Is it something that you were born to be an entrepreneur, or how did that all come about?
At an early age, around 10, my first business was lobster fishing. Our family had a home in Gloucester, Mass, and I purchased 10 lobster traps from the help of my parents, and I set them out in front of the house and caught lobsters and sold the lobsters on weekends to the people who came down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your father invented the lobster trap, did he not?
He invented the metal lobster
trap.
For 150 years, lobstermen used wood traps, and he came around with this newfangled idea in the early 60s, which was a plastic-coated metal trap. No one wanted anything to do with it. They thought it was ridiculous and would never work.
And now, people are using that trap all over the world. Is that fair to say?
It is. It really is. Flash forward 10, 12 years, my family started a business known as Riverdale Mills Corporation. Our brand name is Aquamesh, a mesh that goes into the water. And Aquamesh is sold all throughout New England, Atlantic Canada, and all over the world where they fish for lobsters and other species.
What is it? You know, you grew up in a family business. You were there for 27 years, and part of a really successful family business that's still thriving today, correct?
That's correct. The company is operating in Northbridge, Mass. They employ about 150 people, and it's doing well.
So if you had to maybe identify a few of the life entrepreneurial lessons you took from that experience that you brought to AVO Fence Company today, what are some of the most valuable lessons you learned that you've taken to your business today?
Well, I could identify several, but first, you have to have a definite purpose. You have to have an idea what you're doing and what you want to accomplish, and you have to have focus. You have to focus on that one thing. Persistence. If you have a new idea, you have to believe that idea will work out despite what other people might tell you. And you just have to hang in there and remain tough.
Well, I think that's a great point. I think we know that successful entrepreneurs are all about building relationships, whether it be with suppliers or customers or employees or so on and so forth. But you said something fascinating to me before we came on set today. You were talking about kind of your definition of an entrepreneur and how, you know, kind of the building and the blood, sweat, and tears. Could you share that with our audience? I thought that was so telling.
Sure. Well, I see the entrepreneur as the person who comes up with the idea and makes it happen, whether they start out in a garage like Steve Jobs, perfect example of an entrepreneur. He just dove right in and did it. He had a vision, and he worked the vision. What happens that I see is that a lot of companies, once they reach a certain point, they're not really run by entrepreneurs anymore. They're run by managers, and that happens. It takes different types of people to start a business and get a business going, and then other types of people to manage a business.
Yeah, so one thing that sticks out to me is I think that people like doing business with real people, people who they can relate to and connect with. And it feels like going through some of the challenges you went through with your family business, and then, of course, transitioning to consulting, and then today, AVO Fence Company. Talk about that, about some of the challenges in starting AVO Fence Company that you've had to overcome to make the business successful today.
This was a business that I acquired with a partner in 2012. The company was essentially bankrupt. It wasn't officially bankrupt, but it was ready to close. And I saw an opportunity to restore it, to build it up, and to make it better.
So all of a sudden, 2012 rolls around. You're doing some consulting, and your trigger finger's getting itchy. You want something more, and you find this business that you believe in, and you take on the challenge of not only not starting a business, but taking over a business that was struggling and struggling badly. What were you thinking in that moment when you took that chance? Because there's a lot of risk.
There was a certain amount of risk, but having done it once before with Riverdale, it felt okay to me. I felt comfortable doing it. It's kind of funny because with the metal lobster trap, I spent my whole time convincing the fishermen that the wood traps were no good, and at AVO we build wood fences, and so wow. I had to learn a whole new industry and a whole new language.
Your life went full circle, didn't it?
Went full circle,
totally full circle.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to ask you. Tell me about AVO Fence for a moment. You know, when I think of custom fencing and the different services, I mean, are there a lot of companies like that? I mean, what's the competition like? How is it building up a company like that?
We're a very unique company in the fence industry. So if someone has the name Fence in their company name, you think of the classic contractor who goes out and measures your yard and then gives you a quote. We actually are not contractors. We're not fence installers. We build fence, and we build custom fence, and we also sell standard types of fencing. The primary products are wood fence, vinyl fence, and various types of metal fence.
Well, you're also, when I read and looked into your company, it seemed like one of the unique values you bring is your consultants, your on design and suggestions. That's a big piece. Like, I haven't come across companies that do that piece.
Correct. We sell direct to the homeowner, and we sell to builders and contractors, all different types of contractors. Landscape contractors,
wow.
Builders, and we also sell the fence installs, people who put fencing in. We don't compete with our fence installers because we're not after the insulation part of the business.
So, you know, I wanted to touch base, Andy, again on a question of, you know, you have made a decision to concentrate on your niche. And, you know, you're doing the consulting and the building, and then you're handing it off to installers. But there are reasons for that. And I would love for you to share with the audience what your goals were in making that decision.
Sure. Well, number one, if a homeowner goes to a fence installer to try and buy a fence, if they want to put the fence in themselves, the fence installer doesn't really want to sell it to them. They want to sell them the whole service. And so since there are a lot of fence companies out there that do that, there's not a lot of places where people can go and buy the fence.
Okay.
I've wrestled with this. I know that we could double our revenue maybe if we set up an installation business, and I've wrestled with it. Is this something we should do? And I always come to the conclusion, no, because it's hard to do everything well. And a lot of fence companies, they also try and make their own fence. And then by trying to make their own fence and then put it in, their lead times go way, way out. And with us, just concentrating on making quality fence day in and day out, we can do it faster and we can build a better quality product.
Well, and I will say, I'd like to add one last thing and get your final thoughts on this. I also know that there's two interesting words people use in business. One is niche and one is custom. And often in the entrepreneurial world, niches actually look down upon because it looks like so narrow focused. But in this case, it's quite the opposite. It's that by you sticking to your niche, you're able to provide better service to customers. And on the custom side, you're really offering your customers a lot of flexibility. And if memory serves me, when your customers come see you, you have an approved list of contractors that you formed relationships with to protect them, correct?
That's absolutely correct. We have many people that come in that want to have the fence installed. And we're very, very picky and choosy on who we give the lead out to for the installation. And yes, we won't just recommend any company. We'll only recommend someone who is approved by us.
So to wrap, there's three components to me to see if I've learned effectively. I will have a thick skin, Andy. If I didn't get this right, you tell me. So there's three significant components in this process, right? There's the building of the fence, right? There's the design of the fence.
Correct.
And then there's the installing of the fence.
That's right.
And so your niche is the building and the design. And then you have selected vendors that you work with that you have approved personally to make sure they give good work that do the install.
I wouldn't really call them vendors. I'd call them customers.
So, fair enough.
But because in some cases, we will sell the fence to the homeowner or the consumer, and then the installer will put the fence in. In other cases, we hand the entire lead off to one of our approved installers, and they will go out and measure the yard and come back to us with a takeoff to give us the schematic design to build, and we sell them the fence because they've done the work in the field.
So let's take an individual first. So if I'm a homeowner and I'm thinking of having a fence for my yard, and I start Googling companies or looking at companies, if you had to give me two or three pieces of advice and said, you know what, Mark, if you're going to have a fence in your yard, these are the biggest things you should consider. What's the best practices to due diligence on this?
Well, the first thing would be to come up with a reason why you want the fence. Is it for security? Is it for safety? Is it to let your pet roam around your backyard? And then after that, you would start the process of selecting to see what options are out there.
Is it typically something where people look through catalogs, or how does that typically work?
Well, in the old days, people looked at catalogs, but now we have what's known as the World Wide Web. And,
come back to the 21st century. It's here, I promise. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we've invested heavily in our website, and we've done a lot to make it very user-friendly. And it really is our 24/7 salesperson. People can shop for fence in the middle of the night if they want and come up with ideas and suggestions on how to improve their yard and their outdoor surroundings.
Andy, I just want to let you know, if I do start shopping for fences at 2 a.m., I've got some real serious issues going on in my life. I'm just throwing that out there. Anyways.
No problem.
But frankly, busy schedules and all, I totally get it.
Sure.
No, all kidding aside, though, when it comes to AVO fence and supply, you know, one of my concerns, to be honest with you, is the convenience of your online. I know your website's phenomenal as far as access and online catalog to choose. But I got to tell you, sometimes I hear companies that do that and I'm like, oh, great. They're not going to really be helpful for me. I got to kind of figure it all myself. So is that true? And how does the experience in working with you compare to perhaps like a big box store or something like that?
Sure. Great question. Fencing is available at big box stores, but they purchase in huge volume from big manufacturers, and they kind of just put it out there on the yard, and people have to go through it and find out about it and pick it out themselves. Someone comes to AVO, they can start at the website, and they can get a lot of ideas on what they want at the website. The main difference is that they can talk to a knowledgeable person. Our sales staff has a minimum of 10 years experience just selling fencing. We're highly knowledgeable about the tricks of the trade and how to put the fence in. If you're going to do the job yourself and you need advice, we will give people advice. We call our people consultants. They're fence consultants, people that work at ABO.
So in talking to some of your customers, really people get the best of both worlds because they have the access to have choices and flexibility to kind of start to visualize what they want online. But then once they create that quote and create the ideas, then you guys come to give the personal one-on-one attention to kind of take them through the rest of the process. Is that?
That's absolutely correct. And I'll go one step further back to the word custom that you asked me about earlier. We can build the fence to fit your yard. So if you go to the big box store, it's kind of cookie cutter. The fence sections are 8 feet. Well, your yard might not end up that way. When you bring it up to the house, you might need a 7 foot piece or a 6 foot section. And that's what we do.
Well,
we also build custom gates. We really fit. You come to us with a design. You can send it by email or bring it to one of the stores, and we can build the fence to fit your yard.
Well, and Andy, the do-it-yourself folks out there who are going to those big box stores, they often can be limited. So why are you a good fit for the do-it-yourself people as well?
Because we can give them what they want. We can give them a quality product.
It comes back down to flexible custom solutions,
correct? That's correct.
Okay. So what about from a service perspective? Because I know when I deal with vendors, if I'm going to do something for my home, and we'll get to the business side in a moment, but what about service? You know, what kind of offer, how do you differentiate yourself service-wise from other options that are out there?
Well, we attempt to deliver everything within the busy season within 1 week to 10 days maximum.
Okay.
And so if a homeowner calls a fence company now, some of these fence companies can't even get out and look at their yard for a week or two, and then they might be 8 to 10 to 12 weeks out before they can put the fence in. But we have the ability, because we don't install and we just concentrate on making the fence, we have the ability to turn orders around quickly in the busy season.
So let me play devil's advocate with you for a minute. Viewer sitting at home watching this and says, oh, well, I see the pro to not installing because the quicker response and turnaround. But if I'm not dealing with the same person all the way through, how do I know that that point person's going to ensure that the work is reliable and on time? How do you make sure when it's handed off that the quality is delivered?
Well, first of all, a lot of our customers are what I would call weekend warriors, right?
Okay.
And so they might be in the construction business themselves, and they can come into AVO. They might have an idea how to put the fence in, but we will give them advice, and they can consult with us on some of the tricks, you know, the tricks of the trade. And so that's a big part of what we do. And then again, a lot of our customers have put in fence before, so they already know, you know, what they're doing.
And what about for the business side, the commercial side, Andy, in terms of how that works? Who is a sweet spot customer for you? Who's a good target customer, or someone that you know they should be thinking of you because it's a good match?
That's a great question. Homeowners associations, condos. We're working within the self-storage space. So last year we did a good size project. It was a brand new self-storage facility, and we put a fence on the front and on the side. The customer wanted a typical low-cost chain-link fence, but I convinced them that they could go with something a little bit better, and it would enhance the look of the overall project, and they did that, and they were quite happy.
You know, I think most entrepreneurs who are successful entrepreneurs like yourself have a core value around learning. So I would love to know from you, what is one of the most valuable lessons you've learned since taking over AVO Fence Company? And on the flip side, what has been one of your biggest successes since taking over?
The whole thing has been a learning experience for me. I'm entering, this is my seventh year now in the business, and I now feel like I know what I'm doing. One of the things I learned was that I thought that jumping into this new business venture would be relatively easy, given my 27 years of experience at the family business. But I learned that it was a lot tougher and a lot harder. That I did have a lot to learn. I was able to take some of the manufacturing processes that we used at the family business and apply them here. We installed an automatic nailing machine, for instance, to take out some of the labor and to improve the quality of the finished product.
What's the best compliment you've ever received from a customer, the one that's had the most meaning for you?
You did a really nice job. Like the quality of the fence. If I had a minute, I could turn on my phone and I could read one that I got yesterday. But we hear all the time that some of our good installers are craftsmen. They've been in the business quite a while, and they know how to install a fence correctly.
I think that's a great point, because again, it's your design and your expertise in the field, because I think a lot of times people think a fence is a fence, but it's not just a fence.
And let me just follow up with one more thing, touching on a question you asked earlier. At the end of the day, people do business with people. AVO had a great team. One of the things I liked about the business was most of the employees have been there 10, 15, 20 years. So when the customers come in, they see the same people day in and day out, and they know what they get, and they know what to expect. And that's really the secret sauce of AVO is our people.
Well, I think that's a brilliant final comment, because I think when it comes to setting and meeting expectations for people, that is what people want. And the fact that you've had the continuity, and I know, Andy, I don't know you very well, but I do know from what I've heard from others, but integrity and service and caring about people is very important. Those are very important core values for you. So really appreciate you joining us today and coming on the show. And for our audience, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Mindset Entrepreneur video podcast. I am your host, Mark Altman, and we look forward to seeing you next week.